Hey everyone, welcome back to In Her Wallet podcast, a weekly show helping women around the world take control of their finances for good and build better financial futures one episode at a time. My name is Sophia. I'm your host, the creator behind In Her Wallet podcast and an accredited investment representative here in Canada. This week, I am bringing you a solo episode about the five smart money moves to make this fall to avoid the overwhelm and the overspend associated with all the other fun things happening this season, like Thanksgiving feasts, Black Friday deals, Halloween parties, and of course, pumpkin spice lattes. My goal is that after listening to this episode, you leave feeling equipped with knowledge on how to build the financial future you deserve without feeling guilty for the seasonal fun that awaits ahead. Before we get into it, guys, if you feel like In Her Wallet podcast brings you any value, I would so appreciate if you took the time to leave us a 5-star rating and a written review. All you need to do is just open the Apple Podcasts app, scroll all the way to the bottom. After all the episodes are listed, you will see a write a review section. There you can leave us a 5-star review if you feel like we have deserved it, and also write us a short review. There, honestly, you can tell me anything you want. It can be short or long. It can be the guests you want to see. You can tell me what is resonating with you in the podcast. You can tell me about the topics you want to see on the podcast. Anything really that comes to your mind. All of this helps me show up as a better host and at the end of the day, helps make the show better. All right, with this, let's dive into the episode. As I mentioned, October marks the start of the final fourth quarter of this year, filled with exciting holidays, tempting Black Friday deals, and lots of holiday shopping. Does it mean that we have to disregard our finances to fully enjoy ourselves this fall? No, you can actually have the best of both worlds. And trust me, there is no better feeling than having a handle on your finances, knowing what to do next to achieve your financial goals, taking those steps and regularly practicing good money habits, aka your financial self-care, just like that skincare, because all of this dramatically improves the quality of our lives and lets us enjoy the things that we love even more. So you might be wondering, how do I get there? I have compiled a list of 5 smart money moves that you can take this fall that will for sure help you feel more confident about where you are and where you're going in terms of your finances, and also dramatically improve the quality of your life. Here we go. The number one smart money move I want to share with you is to make sure that you earn at least 3 to 5% interest on your savings account. Besides having this saved money as a backup plan for any emergencies that might come up, one of the main benefits of saving money is the ability to earn interest on it. Interest on a savings account is the amount of money a bank or any other financial institution is willing to pay you for holding that money at a bank. However, interest rates can vary significantly from one savings account to another, from one bank to another, and traditional banks sometimes, more often than not, offer relatively low interest rates, anywhere around 2% annually or less. Now, with inflation and increasing consumer prices on groceries, gas, restaurants, workout classes, literally pick anything, the price has increased in the past year or so. It is especially important right now to make sure that those money we have set aside and are saving are working for us as well and are earning good interest rate. Now, that is one of the main reasons why I believe the very first smart money move is to make sure that your savings account earns you anywhere between 3 to 5% in interest. Here's how you can make sure it does so. The first step to getting the best interest rate for your savings is to understand what's considered competitive in the current interest rate environment. So I pulled up some data and here's what I found. The best savings accounts today pay around 5% annually. Meanwhile, the national average is just 0.53% annually. And many big banks continue to offer these rates and much lower rates today to its customers. So what I want you to do is open up your online banking and check the rate on your savings account. If it's less than anywhere between 3 to 5%, I want you to compare rates with other savings accounts that are available at your bank, and also check rates at other banks and online financial institutions. I want to mention that online banks and financial institutions such as Neo Financial, they tend to pay higher interest rates than traditional banks, but I wouldn't rush into switching your banks right away. What I have actually done is I researched what interest rates at other banks are, and then I found the best rate that I prefer. I went to my bank and I told them, hey guys, are you able to match this rate for my interest account? If not, I will be taking my money and I will be going to a different institution. Even though I am not a new customer at my bank, I've been with them for 10 years, this bank offered me the promotional rate that they offer to their new customers, which was even better than the rate that I found at a different bank. So remember, no one will bite you for asking questions and for asking for a better rate. Oftentimes, a bank will offer you a better rate that's offered on their website. All it takes is just a little bit of research and action. I have completed all of this in the matter of 1 hour, but my money is now earning 5.4% instead of 2.2% that I was earning just a week ago. Now, if for some reason you aren't able to find savings account or a high interest savings account that pays you 3 to 5% annually, check out episode number 37, which was all about the details on where to put your money for short-term savings. It has a lot of information that I believe you guys will find useful. Moving on. The second smart money move I want you to make is to check your TFSA and RSP contribution limits and make those contributions before year end. Here, the order I personally like to tackle this in is first maximizing the RSP matches from your employer, which is like free money, and then making TFSA contributions because of the tax benefits that it offers. So let's quickly go over both of these in more detail. Registered Retirement Savings Plan matching programs are offered as part of your employer's benefits package and can provide a big boost to your retirement savings. The way it works is the employer matches your own contribution to the plan dollar for dollar up to a certain amount or up to a percentage of the employee's salary. RSP contributions are tax deductible, which means that they reduce the amount of taxable income that you pay. So if, thanks to your RSP contributions, you get moved to a different tax bracket that is lower, you will actually be paying less tax than that, but you will need to do a few calculations there. So another thing, I want to give you an example. When I used to work in corporate world, my plan, if I'm not mistaken, was 100% matching contribution up to $3,000 per year. So realistically, I was contributing $3,000 and my employer was contributing another $3,000 for a total of $6,000 every year towards my retirement. One thing I want to mention here is that not all employers offer RSP matching programs. So at the time of hiring or when you're negotiating your salary or benefits, make sure to discuss this. And if the company isn't willing to increase the salary or give you the pay that you're asking for, this would be the number one space where I would look at and continue my negotiations. One final thing I want to mention about RSPs is just how easy it is to use them. You open the account once you set up automatic RSP deductions from your paycheck once with your employer, and it's a done deal. You don't need to think about it anymore. So definitely make sure to check out if your employer is offering you a matching program. If not, consider negotiations and let's move on to TFSAs. Tax-free savings account is a registered tax advantages savings account that can help you earn money tax-free. What it means is that if you open a tax-free savings account, deposit money, buy investments within that account, for example, stocks or ETFs or money market fund, and that investment grows, you do not have to pay any tax on those capital gains, which is, again, like free money. It's fantastic. A few things to keep in mind about tax-free savings account is, first, make sure to check out your available contribution room. Every year it changes. I believe in 2023 it's around 6,500 or it's 6,000. Check it out. Also, one thing I noticed quite a few people don't know about TFSAs is that the contribution room accumulates every year, even if you haven't opened a TFSA. So if you're a Canadian resident, your contribution room begins at the age you turn 18 or in 2009, whichever came first. So if you open a TFSA in 2023 and have never contributed to a TFSA elsewhere, you would have a total available contribution room of 88,000 right now if you were 18 or older in 2009. I want you to remember that it's important to keep track of all your TFSA contributions, both in the current year and in the past years, just because they're very strict with the amount of money you contribute, and you may be subject to a penalty if you over-contribute to TFSA. So that is it with regards to the second step. Again, make sure to check your RSP and TFSA limits and make those contributions before year end. The third smart money move I suggest you do is reassess your financial goals and make a list of your financial priorities for the year ahead. The reason why I think now is the perfect time to do that is because we have just 3 months left in 2023. Very soon the holidays will arrive and we simply will be too busy to deal with any of this. So this doesn't have to be anything complicated. To get started, I suggest you ask yourself, what are my highest priorities? Make a list of your top 3 or 5 core values and remember that there is no wrong answer. Think alongside the achievements you want to make, the travel plans, the self-care, maybe more work and life balance, family, friendships, growth, service, and so on. Whatever motivates you. For me personally, I can share with you what my core 3 values are. First is personal development. I know I want to invest further into gaining additional designations in the investment space, so I will be purchasing educational courses that are offered by the government to achieve that. Now, some of you also know that I recently got engaged, so another core value for me is a family. We are planning the wedding and doing everything that's linked to that. It's an exciting time, but as we all know, it's pretty demanding in terms of finances. So it's another thing where I want my money to go. And finally, I also want to achieve a milestone in terms of my business earnings. And that's another priority I've included in the list. After you've identified your top values and money goals, I want you to create an action plan for the seasons. How will you get there? What steps do you need to take? I find that breaking a big goal down into a smaller one helps me a lot. Also, another thing I've learned this year is that when I set strict boundaries for myself, I ultimately feel discouraged if I'm not achieving it in that period of time. It's almost like I'm setting myself up for failure from the very start. So instead, what I've been trying to do is just set goals without strict boundaries, but with a time window, a time frame in which I will accomplish those goals. Just changing that perspective slightly has shifted my mindset and really helped me zone in on my goals and actually achieve them faster. Whatever your priorities and goals are, remember that making progress towards your financial goals is the number one thing that makes women feel in control of their life, studies show. So give yourself grace and gift by prioritizing your financial well-being and acting towards your financial goals. The fourth and by far probably the most exciting smart money move I want you to make is to start a sinking fund to save for holiday expenses. We can all agree that it's a lot happening in the next 3 months, from Thanksgiving dinners, as I mentioned, to Halloween parties, to Black Friday deals, to Christmas and year-end vacations. And that's just on top of already existing birthdays, bridal parties maybe for someone, and so on. Wow, there is no doubt that this season can be stressful, especially if you don't have enough money to buy gifts for your loved ones and enjoy all that this season has to offer. So here's a smart money move for you. By setting up a sinking fund, you can save up for holiday expenses such as gifts, decorations, parties, and so on in advance. What a sinking fund is, it's basically a savings account that you set up for yourself for a specific expense that you know is coming up. I just find it so helpful when something is automated and the money is automatically transferred into that account without me even noticing it, because otherwise I could be spending it on happy hours and Amazon shopping and things like that. In reality, what it's doing is just going into that savings sinking fund, and I can use that money down the road for expected things that I know I will need the money for. Now, to set up a sinking fund, what you need to do is fairly simple. Start by figuring out how much money you need to save, and then set up automatic transfers to your sinking fund each month or each week or biweekly, whatever you prefer. Before you know it, trust me, you'll have a healthy savings account and the peace of mind that comes with it. Pro tip, refer to Smart Money Move number one to help you help that money earn interest before the holidays come. So far, we've been talking about sinking funds, savings accounts, investing for the future, and reassessing your financial goals. Now, the final fifth smart money move I want to share with you is all about finding money that you already have and are unintentionally spending on things you don't need. Yes, you are correct. I'm talking about canceling the unused subscriptions, monthly subscriptions. Don't you feel like they are getting out of hand? I was just super curious to find out what studies show, and according to this 2022 study by C+R Research, when it came to monthly costs for cell phone, internet, movie streaming apps, and more, Americans spent $213 every month in 2022. That is $133 higher than the average consumer expected they would spend per month per year. I wanted to share this study because chances are we all have a lower expectation for what we're paying versus the actual number that's being withdrawn from our account every month in total. So again, what I want you to do here is first to identify the subscriptions you are paying for and then cancel any unused ones. Think alongside Netflix, Disney, Crave, HBO, YouTube Premium, LinkedIn Premium, Adobe, Microsoft dating apps, though I didn't know you have to pay for that. I just found that out through my research, but I'm kind of like, you know, finding love is important, so you guys make that choice. And of course, finally, food apps like Uber Eats, DoorDash, Instacart, and more. That was a long list, and I don't think I've named all of them, but hopefully after you heard some of these names, maybe a light bulb went off in your head and you're like, wow, I'm actually paying for this, but I don't use it as much. So I hope this helps. Well, that is it, guys. I hope you feel confident on how to make progress towards building the financial future you deserve without feeling guilty for all the seasonal fun that awaits us ahead. Before you go on with your day, there is one thing I want to ask you. If you do feel like there is any value you got from today's episode or from any episode on the In Her Wallet podcast, I would so appreciate if you left us a 5-star rating and a written review on your podcasting platform of choice. It can be Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Amazon Music. This goes a long way and helps us understand what is resonating with you guys. It helps me show up as a better host and also, of course, helps us reach new audiences and people. As always, I want you to give credit to yourself for showing up for yourself and your future, because every time you do that, you increase what's financially possible for you. I will see you next week, and until then, be good.